This is Caleb Sackett. You're listening to Hey Chaplain, and today we've got an update episode for you with a couple of questions I have for you, Jared. One of them is, I noticed that with relative frequency, you attend what you call roll calls with your LEOs.
Yep.
What are roll calls? How do they work? And what do you do at a roll call?
Okay, so I get this question pretty frequently, and roll calls vary from department to department. Some of them don't even call them roll calls. They may call them briefings or something else entirely. And in Kansas City, Kansas, we're a department of maybe 300 to 350 sworn officers. So we have over 100 officers in patrol across three different patrol stations, three different shifts. And so at the beginning of each shift, you would have, let's say, it depends on the shift and the location. So let's say 6 to 12 officers, 1 to 3 sergeants, maybe a captain, possibly a major, that are all in the room together. And this is a kind of a start the shift meeting. This officer is going to be in this car in this district, and this officer's coming in 4 hours early. This one has a ride along with him today. This one is doing whatever. And they sort out all of those details. They go through, maybe they're looking for a particular stolen car. Maybe they're on the lookout for a particular suspect. Maybe there's a policy that they have to emphasize and like, hey, we're going to make sure we do this with the radios or with the particular piece of equipment. And those kinds of housekeeping type instructions are given. Sometimes they will watch a video and say, hey, here's something we can learn from one of our videos or maybe from a video online from a different department. And so sometimes there's kind of teaching moments. And, you know, all kinds of administrative stuff might happen during this meeting. It could last for 30 seconds. It could last for 30 minutes. It varies a lot. So there is no one standard roll call that it's like always the same. I attend those meetings. When I go to the police station, I stop by and ask the sergeant, you know, hey, is it okay if I drop in on roll call? In fact, I had a sergeant the other day that saw me coming, and he said to me what I always say to him before I could say it to him. He's like, oh, it's the chaplain, just here for a roll call. And I'm like, yes, am I that predictable? And he's like, yes, you're predictable. And so that's, you know, that's the standard things. I'm asking permission because the sergeants run that meeting. Even though there might be superior officers in the room, the sergeant is running the meeting. And okay. Yeah, and so that's what that looks like.
So is there one every single day for every single shift at every single station?
Almost without fail, once in a while, I'll show up and they're in the middle of something huge. There's been a shooting or something like that. And I'm walking in the door and four or five officers are running out the door at the same time. And one of them will yell over their shoulder, we're not having a roll call today. So they will sort out all that administrative stuff of whatever instructions need to be given. They will sort that out later because there's some urgent thing going on in the city. But 99% of the time, there's a meeting at the beginning of every shift.
Now, with an agency that has multiple stations, do the roll calls happen at the exact same time at all those stations?
Sometimes they do. In KCK, I'm so happy because they just changed from four stations to three stations here a few years ago. And I actually asked one of the commanders, I said, if you have any input at all, will you please make sure that those times are staggered? Because I'm not the only one that might want to go to multiple roll calls, you know, on the same day and the same shift. So here in KCK, they're staggered every 30 minutes. So if the roll call is short, if it's 10 minutes, maybe 15 at the most, I have just enough time to drive to the next station before that roll call starts. And I could ideally, in the space of a little over an hour, go to three roll calls and see, you know, upwards of 30 or 40 officers.
You get more bang for your buck.
That's for a chaplain where I'm trying to like just make an appearance, check in with them, see how they're doing. Yeah, that's hugely beneficial to me.
How often do you actually say anything in a roll call?
Not that often. In fact, that's another thing I get teased for sometimes because typically the sergeant will kind of wrap up all of his business and he'll check with the commanders. Captain, do you have anything? Major, do you have anything? And he'll turn to the chaplain and say, chaplain, you got anything for us? And I'll say, no, just making my rounds. And they'll tease me because some of the sergeants will be like, are you just making your rounds today, chaplain? You know, and like, don't you have a sermon for us? You know, and I'm like, no. Nobody wants to hear a sermon from the chaplain. You know, that's not the thing. I usually have very little to say. Once a year, I will give a briefing on, you know, what the heck is a chaplain? And I'll do that at the beginning when they bid a new shift at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. and there's new officers in new places, I will give a briefing, just a short little 5-minute briefing. This is what the Chaplains Association does for the department. Other than that, I typically keep pretty quiet, and I think a chaplain should keep quiet. Most of the time, we don't need to interfere. We don't need to get involved. We're not there to tell jokes or beat them over the head with a Bible. We're just having a ministry of presence. And so just being present is enough.
So it's mostly a convenient time for you to be able to go see a little bit of what's going on in the department and what the officers are experiencing, and they can get comfortable with you just being around them, and maybe you can capitalize on some of those moments, and they might come to you and say, hey, do you got a minute, chaplain? Can I just talk to you for a second?
Yes, yes. And becoming familiar, building rapport, that's what I'm trying to do. And it's easy as people are coming and going, because the previous shift stops in and drops off their tasers and whatever other equipment gets passed on, the car keys, they pass those things on. And I get to see people at the end of their shift. And sometimes as I'm walking out, they're walking out. And that's an opportunity to chat with me versus the guys that are starting their shift and going to work. You know, they're busy. So I try not to interfere. I try not to be in the way. But if I am present and available, there's opportunities to talk and you know, maybe they'd like to come in and chat with me in my office sometime, or maybe they just want to say hi. And that's an availability presence mm-hmm. kind of thing.
So I'm a regular listener of Hey Chaplain. I happen to listen to the show on Spotify, but is that how everyone listens to Hey Chaplain?
Spotify is probably second place. I think that Apple Podcasts is far and away the largest place that people listen. They open up their iPhone and listen on Apple Podcasts. That's how the majority of my listeners listen. Spotify's number two. The website is number three. People just find a link maybe through Facebook, and they actually go to the Buzzcast website that's my podcast host. And they go to, you know, buzzcast.com/heychaplain and they listen on a player right on their desktop computer. That's probably third.
Okay.
Fourth is an issue. Because fourth would be Google Podcasts, which is an app that was found native, I think, on almost every Android phone. And most of my listeners, like 85% of my listeners, listen on their phone. And so if they don't have an iPhone, they probably listen through either Spotify or Google Podcasts until next month. So Google Podcasts, Google announced that last fall that Google Podcasts is going away. They're going to shutter it. It's going to close. And so even though millions of people listen to podcasts on Google Podcasts, they decided that they had an internal conflict because Google owns YouTube.
Oh.
And so they want to push people who listen to audio, whether it's music or podcast or books, they want to move those people away from Google Podcasts over to YouTube Music, which is its own app.
Okay, so different from the YouTube app.
Right, that different from YouTube, where you watch videos every day. That's a different thing. YouTube Music is a audio platform, and so you would open up an app, and it's a slightly different logo. It's a circle logo instead of a square, and that app would be where you would listen to music if Google has any say about it, and where you would listen to podcasts.
Okay, so what options do people who currently listen to your show on Google Podcast have come mid-April?
You're supposed to be getting help from Google to migrate the list of the shows you listen to from Google Podcast over to YouTube Music. That is supposed to work. It was supposed to have already been done. Maybe there are listeners out there who are like, yeah, I'm listening to this right now on YouTube Music. It works great. I am worried for my listeners who listen on Google Podcasts because I'm not sure if they'll make that transition. And they won't get an alert every week that a new show of Hey Chaplain has appeared. And I'm worried that they're going to lose track of me. So I'm hoping that they make that migration. Some of them may just decide to move over to Spotify or one of dozens of other podcast apps. There's all kinds of different apps out there for both iPhone and Android. And some people would rather listen on their laptop or whatever, or a smart speaker. There's other ways to listen to podcasts, but those are the big ones. And so here I am with my number four channel through which my podcast gets to people. It's going to change and convert, and it's going to be a completely different app. And so that's got me a little bit nervous there, but that's like one out of 20 of my listeners, about 5% listen on Google Podcasts, and they're going to have to move over to YouTube Music.
So there's still a way for them to listen. It just might ultimately require a little bit of extra effort on their end to get it set up and functioning just how they want it to.
Yeah, and there's some risk of confusion because there's going to be some people who aren't going to realize that YouTube, the video website, and YouTube Music are two different things. And technically, my podcast is now on the video site also. Now, I don't record video. I almost never record video. My podcast is pretty much exclusively audio only. It's meant to be like a radio show. That's what a traditional podcast is. It's a radio show that instead of running through a transmitter at a radio station, it runs through an RSS feed. That's technical, but that's the origin of that. But you can find this show on YouTube, and a lot of people find it there. I have a lot of people. YouTube's great for discoverability. And so you get into YouTube and you ask, how do I fix my washing machine? Mm-hmm. Or how, you know, do I do such and such? People search for stuff in YouTube. And if you search Police Chaplain in YouTube, I want Hey Chaplain to show up. So it's on YouTube, but it's just an audio show.
It's just not the best way to listen. You can't turn your phone off and put it in your pocket and go about your day. It'll stop playing.
Right. Oh, yeah. The 85% that listen on the phone, if they put that in their pocket, it'll stop playing, where normally a podcast app wouldn't do that to you. But the YouTube video site does do that. So unless you have YouTube Premium or what have you. And so it's just, I'm worried about the confusion there. So I'm glad that the show is on YouTube. I'm happy that it's on YouTube Music. But the transition from Google Podcasts over to YouTube might lose some people. And I thought, man, I just want people to be aware of that. And hey, message me. I've got recommendations for different podcast apps, depending on how you want to listen. And I think there's a lot of really good podcast apps out there where you can subscribe to the show so that you get an alert every mm-hmm. time a new show drops and you never forget about it. I mean, your phone's going to remind you that there's a new episode of Hey Chaplain. I think podcast apps are awesome. But this confusion, I just know I'm going to lose like one out of 20 people. They're going to have trouble getting back on track with me.
Well, thanks for giving all of us a heads up on how to navigate that.
Well, all you Spotify users are sitting over there like, what? I've got no problem. Everything's great. That's awesome.
So can you give us a little bit of a sneak preview as to what's coming up on the podcast?
I'm always hesitant because the upcoming schedule's always changing. I'm always moving things around on the calendar, and sometimes opportunities pop up and I'll interview somebody and put them in right at the front of the line. But I can say that there's going to be some Border Patrol coming up right away. And then after that, I have a detective from the UK that's going to talk about his work with counterterrorism and organized crime and that kind of stuff in the UK. Both of those are interesting, and lots of other really good subjects. A wide variety of local people and international guests. You know, history stuff and officer wellness related topics. All of that is coming up, but I hate to commit because I don't know for sure. Beyond three or four episodes, I'm never sure exactly when something's going to drop.
Well, I can genuinely say you've got me excited for the next few episodes. I'm already ready to listen.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Caleb.
Thank you for having me.